All right, today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Holy Spirit? I've been so excited to see how so many of you are grasping and learning and so hungry and eager to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Many of you shared with me that you had never been in a church that has taught more in depth on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you heard the term Holy Spirit tossed around, but no one's ever taken time to explain the role of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. And how many think if He is the third of the Godhead, He's God the Father, God the Son, and what? God the Holy Spirit, that it's important that we identify who He is and learn to find out what His role is in my life. How many think that's a good thing? How many feel like you've been cheated when you didn't do that? Isn't that it's like, you know, you find out at the end there was so much more. You're like, wow, you know, there's so much more. No wonder I feel like I've been living a little short of where I know God wanted me to live. It's because we sometimes don't realize the power and the function that God has designed for every believer, and that is to walk in the power and fulfilling of what the Holy Spirit in our life. And so we've been looking and have done over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about the thoughts such as, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is He? Discovering that He is called to be our best friend, that as we learn to develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, that then we can learn to walk in that flow and have a leading of the Holy Spirit. He can, Word of God says, He will guide me into what? All truth. And as I learn to yield to that in my relationship with the Holy Spirit, He is leading me, empowering me. We talked about the importance of understanding who the Holy Spirit is and His role in our life. We answered the question, is He Pentecostal? That really ruffled a few feathers when we did that. Is He Pentecostal? And we looked at the definition of what Pentecost really means. And when it comes to the true definition of Pentecost, which actually means 50 days after Passover, that the Holy Spirit came. And so, yes, we believe in the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. And we believe that the Holy Spirit, that what happened in the upper room was the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost that God designed all the way back in the children of Israel in the Old Testament and was fulfilled in the New Testament in the upper room and is still relevant today for my life and for your life. And so we must realize that the Holy Spirit is relevant for us today. Last week we talked about, is He baptized? And we discovered last week that when we are saved, it says that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, that He baptizes us into Jesus. And then after we are saved, we make a public confession of our faith by being water baptized, identifying with Christ. And then after we are water baptized, it says that Jesus wants to what? Jesus wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And that many of us have lived our life with just two baptisms, the baptism of salvation and the baptism of water. But many of us have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that we realize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential and important for every believer. And when we don't, we're living shy of where God wants us to live. And we don't have to run from it, but we can embrace it. We want to run and jump in that pool. And when we're baptized, it's symbolic of being dipped in those waters. Same way that spiritually, when we say spiritually baptized, they say, God, I want to jump in over my head. I want everything the Holy Spirit has for me. I want You to fill my heart, my mind, my spirit, my soul. I want every part of me to be running over with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to receive that fullness, a power of the Holy Spirit. So last week we were there, and many of you, most of you said, yes, I am ready to receive that baptism. We prayed and have been praying this week, God, just baptize me in the Holy Spirit continually. See, it's not a one-day prayer. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing that we learn to yield our life to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I want You to immerse me in the Holy Spirit daily, weekly. I should be allowing myself to be cleansed and empowered and full of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to answer another good question. Is the Holy Spirit charismatic? Is He charismatic? You hear that word charismatic a lot. And the reason why I throw it out there, because we hear the word charismatic and sometimes we define it and it's actually used in a wrong definition. Just as Pentecost, many times it's used in a wrong definition. You go around saying you're Pentecost, that means you're 50, okay? That's really what it means. And true definition, if you say I'm Pentecost, you're saying I'm 50. And so unless you're 50... It's not adequate to say, it's not really correct to say you're Pentecost. You can say, I believe in the day of Pentecost. I can believe in the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit that goes along with that. It's like if I say I'm charismatic, you know, what does that mean? And so really in society's definition, the word charismatic was thrown out with a lot of churches that maybe had a lot more of a, I would say, you know, the worship became a lot more exuberant. Maybe you'll see banners during worship. You see a lot more dancing. And you kind of see some of these charismatic movements that were a lot more, say, joyful, you know, I would say, maybe a lot more energy going into what they do. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they would classify that as charismatic. And that's really not the true definition of charismatic. The true definition of charismatic is the word we get the word charisma, which simply just means grace gifts. It does. It means grace gifts. How many think we need grace? And how many think we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We do. And for us to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we receive them by grace. Just like you and I receive salvation by what? Grace. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit by grace. We don't earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't deserve the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when we receive them and we operate in them, it's a grace thing that's happening through the Holy Spirit in our life. And let me give you a definition here that I've read before, and I really like it. I think it really explains charisma. Is the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the what? Edification of others. And so we see this to be very true, that the Holy Spirit can give you a gift right away to be used to edify not only yourself, but other people who the Holy Spirit is wanting you to minister to, wanting you to pray for, wanting you to talk to, wanting you to edify, wanting you to encourage. And so we see these gifts are for us. Let's read what 1 Corinthians 12:1 says. We'll read verse 1, then we'll go verses 4 and 11 as well. This is Paul talking, and Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to what? Be ignorant." So turn to your neighbor and say, "Do not be ignorant." Somebody said, "I've been waiting all day to say that to somebody." Okay, do not be ignorant. And you weren't even in traffic when he said that. Do not be ignorant. Why was he saying this? Because what was happening here is we study out this 1 Corinthians letter. After you study the whole book of Corinthians, we see where many times Paul is answering questions that had previously been discussed. So in all true actuality, that even though this is listed as 1 Corinthians, it's actually not the first letter. That there actually had been multiple letters going on, and Paul had been teaching them, trying to disciple them with letters. This particular letter was saved and put into the Scripture as chosen by the Holy Spirit for our teaching. And as you see, it's got a lot of great teaching about the Holy Spirit. And so, but we see him, what's happening here is Paul is addressing their questions about the use of the gifts of the Spirit. And so he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. What would that Spirit be? The Holy Spirit. That's correct. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Would that be our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it would be. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God. God our Father." So we see the Holy Trinity right there identified in this verse. They're all one. Different and ministries and diversities and activities, but it's all under the same God, same Spirit, same Lord, all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one, to who? To each who? To each one for the profit of who? All. Let's keep reading. "For one is given the word of wisdom." And it's listing the different gifts that come with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. But to one and the same, listen, but to one and the same Spirit works all these things. Distributing how many? Each one. Distributing how many? Each one individually as he wills. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit, these gifts of the Holy Spirit are for every believer. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's talking to you today." If you are a believer today, you have gifts that are waiting for you. You have gifts of the Holy Spirit that are waiting for you to be released to you. Now, let me ask you this. We've been talking about this thing of relationship. And so, if today, if I, you know, if I want to have somebody, how many knows it's a lot easier to loan something you have, a gift, just or give a gift to somebody you know already and you built a relationship with? Isn't this straight true? You know, if how many know that the gifts of the Spirit belong to who? The Holy Spirit. And they're given to us by the Holy Spirit to use. So let me just put this analogy to you. If I have a new set of golf clubs, and I've worked really hard to buy these golf clubs, and, you know, maybe I don't hit them so well, but maybe they look good anyway, you know. And I had these golf clubs, and Carlos wants to borrow my golf clubs. Carlos says, "Hey, Pastor Jim, I want to take these out. I want to try them out. I want to use them. You know, I don't have mine or in the shop getting re-gripped, and I need to use yours." Because I have a relationship with Carlos, because I know Carlos will take care of my clubs. I know Carlos is not going to be out there hitting off rocks off my new clubs. I know he's going to wipe down my clubs. He's going to take care. I will very easily say, "Sure, Carlos, and they're yours. I'll bring them to you. It's the church. You just take them. Use them when you need to." Because I've got a relationship with them. Now, if a stranger came to me and knocked on my door and said, "Hey, I heard you. My cousin told me, he goes to your church. You don't know me, but he said you got some new clubs, and I'd like to use your new clubs. Play golf." How many know I'm going to have a hard time giving a stranger loan on my gifts? All right, I just want to put that analogy into our life as we're talking about the power of relationship with the Holy Spirit, how we are learning to develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we do not see a more having these gifts operate more in our life is it because we do not develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, is it going to be easier for Him to give us and trust us with the gifts that He's wanting us to walk in and to live in? Does it make sense? Really think about this. It makes sense. It makes sense, doesn't it, that He would trust us more the more that we develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more He's going to trust us with His gifts. But the problem is many of us, we never talk to the Holy Spirit. We never listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we get in trouble, and we're like, "Holy Spirit! Can I borrow one of those gifts? I can really use it right now." It's a little harder to receive. It's a little harder to operate in because we haven't been communing. We haven't been learning to develop that daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I say that the Holy Spirit is for every one of us according to Scripture. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for every one of us according to Scripture. We must learn. Let's look at these real fast. Now, I will not be able to dive in deep to many of these because just the nature and the depth of what we're talking about today. But let me give you kind of an overview of these gifts of the Holy Spirit and their role in our life. We'll put them in three different categories. In the first category, we're going to talk about discerning gifts, gifts of discerning. And we look at these and we say the words of knowledge would fall under this. The words of knowledge. He talked about He would give us words of knowledge. And it simply by definition means to know something specific without having learned it by natural means. To know something specific without having learned it by natural means. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, have you ever had something come to you and you're like, "Oh, that's the answer. And I didn't look it up and no one told me, but all of a sudden it was something I really needed to know and the Holy Spirit revealed that to you"? That's the work of the wisdom, gifts of wisdom coming to you and you're getting knowledge of wisdom. Remember what I was talking about early on about how the Holy Spirit. You ever think about the IQ of the Holy Spirit? We can't measure it. It says all truth is Him. Nothing just occurs to the Holy Spirit. Nothing just, He doesn't just get an idea that He has all knowledge. Everything that comes and pertains to knowledge, He already has. He already knows. And so He will loan me and He will give me gifts of knowledge when I need answers. When I need knowledge of things as a Christian, He will give me knowledge that I did not know otherwise. And people say, "How did you know that?" "I don't know. I just felt led to that. That's what the answer was. That's the Holy Spirit walking in our everyday life." Talks about the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, not to be confused with the judgmental spirit. Let me just get that to you right now. Discerning of spirits is not to be confused with a judgmental spirit, because a judgmental spirit has nothing to do with Scripture. Because the reason I say that, because I know a lot of people who use a judgmental spirit to justify and saying, "Well, it's a discerning gift I have." No, you're just critical is what that is. It's called critical. Okay? Because words, discerning gifts, will not allow you to be critical, but they will help you discern a demonic spirit and its activity that's trying to attack you, they're trying to attack your family, trying to attack your children, trying to attack your business, attack your finances. How many think that wouldn't it be great if I, as a Christian, could learn to identify when a spirit is trying to attack me? Because of the last series we talked about, we have what? Spiritual authority, right? We walk in spiritual authority. When we submit to God's authority, we can walk in spiritual authority. I have authority over those spirits. And so if I know as a Christian that I feel a spirit trying to attack my marriage, then I can say, you know what? Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, all authority, with all authority of Jesus Christ, and cast you out of my marriage. You will not attack my marriage. You will not attack my finances. You will not attack my business. You will not attack my children. As I can identify these things, then I have the power to battle them and release them out of my life. And so this is why it's important that we can walk in the power of discerning the spirits. We need to learn to walk in discerning the spirits that are going on. Now, as a Christian, we don't believe that we can be possessed with a demonic spirit, but we can have those demonic spirits trying to attack us, trying to put things into our mind, things into our spirit, thoughts into there, bring on spirits of depression, bring on spirits of fear. We can see these things and sense them. And so when we sense them, I can tell you there's been many times in my ministry or in my home when I sense these spirits trying to attack, and I just simply stood up and said, no, this is not going to happen. This is what's going on, honey. I realize what's going on. And just a spirit of fear is trying to attack our home. And I'll say, spirit of fear, you are not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out of my home. I can feel it trying to attack my ministry at times. And I'll have things happen and feel it. I'll say, you know what? No, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of confusion. And God, I speak the Lord. I'm going to do great things for you. God, we're going to see things happen. I'm just going to prophesy the things that I feel happening in my spirit and cast those spirits away. And so as a spirit, a discerning spirit, I can learn to sense when those demonic spirits are trying to attack myself and my family. Words of wisdom. He talked about the discerning of words of wisdom, a divine answer or solution for a particular event. When you've been praying about something and you need an answer, and all of a sudden you get an answer, that's a word of wisdom. We had someone a few weeks ago who told me a story about how they had a dream about something particular, and they didn't understand the dream, and it was kind of confusing. And then that next morning at church, someone come up and said, hey, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I see this in my spirit, and they described exactly what was happening in their dream the night before, and it just made right sense to them. And see, that's a word of wisdom that comes when you don't really understand. And let me say this to you, that many times that when you don't have, this is one of those gifts that where I say that it's really kind of scary to operate in when it first starts happening. God's giving you a word of wisdom to share with somebody, and you're like, I don't want to look like an idiot, or, you know, I don't want to be wrong. And I really respect that, because we have some people who don't really care, they just want to go out there and just spout off everything they hear, and, you know, it's not always right. And so I really appreciate the person who really guards that in their heart and says, God, is this really from you? But at the same time, we can't let that fear stop us from operating in this gifts of wisdom that God wants us to operate in. And this is what I see happening. Many times God will give you this a short phrase to tell somebody, and you're like, I don't know if that's God or not. Should I? All right. And you go to me. You know what? I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but I just feel this in my heart. Let me just tell you. And as you start telling them that short phrase, pretty soon that short phrase turns into a sentence, into a paragraph. And they say, you know, you've said one line over the next line, you're like, where did that come from? I didn't know that was in me. And it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit bringing it to you. And that person sitting there going, wow, how'd you know this? I didn't know. That's the Holy Spirit. Many times when I'm counseling or I'm talking to somebody, that I can automatically begin to feel in my spirit what's happening, and I'll just stop and say, listen, I just feel in my spirit. This is what's going on. And I'll begin to share, and they're like, how'd you know that, Pastor? I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit over time. And so, you know what? There's been a few times maybe I've probably been wrong, too. It's all right. It's all right. A lot of times I'll tell somebody, you know what? I don't know if this makes any sense to you. If it doesn't, just throw it out with the bathwater. You know, it's no big deal. It's all right. But if this makes sense to you, I'm just going to share what I feel like God's shared in my heart. And, you know, like, how'd you know that? I didn't know that. It was just the Holy Spirit And I had learned to develop that over time. You can learn to have those gifts of words of wisdom that God wants to use in your life. Let's get to the declarative gifts. The gift of prophecy. A message of encouragement. Everybody say encouragement. A message of encouragement from God through a person to a person or to persons. And when we prophesy, it's for edification, according to Scripture. It's for the edification of the body. A message of encouraging. When someone says, I just feel like God wants you to know how much you're loved today. Maybe in a group of people and you're praying and they stop thinking, I just feel like God wants you to know how much you're loved. He's hearing your prayers and he's receiving your worship and they're speaking to you and all of a sudden you just feel your spirit building up. And that's prophecy. People are prophesying to you. They're prophesying over each other. Even though you're having a bad day today, you know what? God wants you to know that he loves you and that all things are going to work together for good. And they begin to prophesy to your heart, begin to prophesy to your spirit. Look what 1 Corinthians 14:31 says. For you can all, what? Prophesy. Who can prophesy? Oh, he didn't say only the prophets can prophesy. He didn't say only your pastor can prophesy. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be what? Encouraged. Encouraged. So if anyone's ever prophesying doom and gloom to you, just shut them off and say, that's not of God. Okay? Because when God prophesies to you, he's going to encourage you. He's going to edify you. Okay? And so use that as a gauge that God wants to encourage and edify you. Let's talk about tongues. Isn't that a good question right there? Tongues. Let me just say this first of all. As I get into tongues, that next week, this is such a deep subject and such so many people have so many different views on tongues and its relevance in the church. We're going to spend all next week talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, okay? We're going to define it according to Scripture. We're going to explain it so in a way that you can understand it. And we're going to share with it. This is not, let me say, all the staff, all of our elders, we all believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all believe in speaking in tongues. We all believe this is nothing new that we're coming up this week. Our church has been founded on that from the very beginning. And we believe in the fullness of every gift of the Spirit. But when it's talking about the gifts of the tongues here, it's a message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. And what's happening here is he's talking about a tongues that comes in a bigger setting when there's a group of people. And sometimes the tongues is given out in an unknown language. And then the next gift, is, which we'll get to in a second, is the gift of interpretation. And somebody will interpret that message. But it's important that we have a full understanding of the gift of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, 23 and 25. Even so, if unbelievers, this is what Paul's telling the church, even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things, he's talking about tongues, come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking an unknown language, they will think you're crazy. That's what he says, what Paul said. They're going to think you're crazy. If everybody in your church is speaking in tongues when they walk in the door, they're going to think you're crazy. But if all are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin, judged by what you say. They, as they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed, and they will fall on their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. What Paul was saying is, he was not saying, don't speak in tongues, okay? He was not saying, don't believe in tongues, but he was saying, when it comes to a corporate setting, when you have people there who are unsaved, who are uneducated on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he says it's better not to speak in tongues because they're going to think you crazy and they have no idea what you're talking about. Now, if I just got up and said, let's all speak in tongues, and we all spoke in tongues, and somebody walked in who had no idea what was going on, they have never been taught about speaking in tongues, and they walk in, they're going to go out here and go, man, that church is weird. You can't understand the thing they're saying. They're all speaking different languages. This is crazy, man. Woo, let's get out of here. You know, they're going to take off running. Because they're going to think you're crazy. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. There's wisdom and when to use tongues. Now, do we believe in using tongues? Yes, we do. Do we use tongues? Yes, we do. Why don't we use them on Sunday morning in a corporate way when it comes to the open mic? Because the Scripture says we're not to do it that way. He says this, that it brings people confusion because they don't understand. Now, the church I used to do that. Are they wrong? Let me just say what Scripture says. If you have unbelievers there. Now, if you have a church where no guests are coming in, then that's not wrong, okay? But I can tell you here at Destiny Church, every week we have anywhere from 6 to 12 new families coming through our doors. And a lot of them have no idea about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, have no idea about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're teaching them. We're instructing them. As you're getting today, you're getting a chance to hear 4, 5, 6, 7 messages of the Holy Spirit. Next week, when I talk about tongues, you're going to be able to embrace it and understand it because you're having time to be taught and understand that. But not everybody has a chance to understand that when they first walk in the door. That's why we don't do that. Now, are you allowed to speak in tongues while you're praising God? Yes, you can. And many times in our service, we have people who are filled with the Holy Spirit in the middle of our worship. We have people, my wife would tell you, we have people come to us all the time and say, you know what, I start speaking in tongues in the middle of worship today. And we're like, great, continue to do that. God's wanting to use that to edify your spirit. That's great. That's an awesome thing. And we have people all the time around you who may be speaking in tongues. Do we get up corporate and say, let's all speak in tongues? No, because we don't want to do according to what Paul says. We want to teach it in a way that people can understand. Now, if you're in a small group setting in your home group and you look around the room, you know what? There's all Christians in this room tonight. They all have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. And you feel the urgency to give out of your heart, message in tongues, go for it, man. Let it fly. And let someone be there. Scripture says, if someone's there to interpret, let them interpret what God's trying to say to the group. That's where it should be used, in the group with believers. Now, I may be ruffling some of your feathers here today and say, my church didn't do it that way. I'm not here to tell you one church is wrong, one church is right. I'm just here to say, let's look at the Word of God says, and let's all judge for ourselves, okay? How many think that's a great way to use a scale? I think it's a good thing, yeah? Let's use what the Scripture says. But we make it very clear. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's important. I remember I was at a church with my dad at a very large church, and we were there, and someone got up and gave a message in tongues, and someone got up and interpreted tongues. And the person interpreted tongues in a congregation, about 800 people. And they said, thus saith the Lord thy God, there shall be a heyday, saith the Lord thy God. And I look at my dad in the middle of church, and I said, Dad, what's a heyday? I could tell it kind of irked him a little bit, which didn't bother me a bit. But anyway, I was like, Dad, what's a heyday?
Well, son, it's a day of reckoning. It's a day the Lord shall come and reckon his presence will be here above.
I'm like, okay, Dad, you know, I have a biblical studies degree, and I struggle with that definition, okay? You've been preaching for 40 years. You understand that, okay? But listen, 95% of the people in this congregation have no idea what a heyday is. In their mind, they're thinking, all right, next week we're having hay rides, passing out free hay to everybody. I'm just saying we need to really be cautious about how we present the Holy Spirit and allowing people to understand it and grasp it. Am I making sense to you this morning? Is it for you? Yes, it is. Do you need it? Yes, you need it. We want every part of the Holy Spirit. We don't deny any part of the Holy Spirit. It is for us today, every part relevant. But we must be wise, according to what Paul said, and how we use it and use it in the right context so it can be most effective in people's lives. The second one, we see the interpretation of tongues, understanding and expressing the thought or the intent of the message in tongues. Understanding and expressing what? The thought and intent of the message in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. See, Paul said, I wish you all would speak in tongues. But even more than that, that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. And we're going to read that and go, all right, see out there, Paul is wanting you to speak in tongues. He wants you just to prophesy. Now, that's not what he said. Keep reading. Unless, indeed, he interprets that the church may receive what? Edification. So, he says, as long as if it brings edification, if the prophecy comes out in tongues, it's okay. As long as somebody's there to interpret, it brings edification. And sometimes I have people, I've answered this question, I want to answer today. I have people say, you know what? All right, I've heard a message in tongues given in an unknown language, okay? I get that, Pastor, but someone will speak in tongues, they'll speak for a long time, and then someone will give the interpretation, and it's really short. And so if this is really God and really the Holy Spirit, why is the tongues really long and the interpretation really short? Well, first of all, let me say it to you. It's called an interpretation, not a translation. Big difference. Translation is word for word what is being said. Interpretation is to express the intent of what's being said. Let me express it to you this way, the way you can understand. My kids, when they come home from school, I can ask my boys, how was your day? Fine. How was your day, Landon? Good. How was your day, Preston? Fine. How was your day, Hayden? Ask my girls when they get home from school. Hallie, Melissa, how was your day today? Well, when I got up, I had kind of a sinus infection, but I finally got that taken care of. I couldn't find anything to wear, but I finally got something out of the dryer, like a match, and I was late to school. And I talked to my teacher in the first hour and said, don't mark me tardy because I couldn't find anything to wear, but I got it out of the dryer, and it didn't smell too bad. And so, you know, didn't mark me tardy. And then the first hour, the guy next to me stunk really bad, and I had a hard time. So I asked him to move, and I finally got situated. And then I opened my book, and then I realized, oh, I've already studied this lesson. I didn't need to study anyway. And I was like, we haven't even got through first hour yet, okay? All right. But I can sum it all up so you can say, well, it was a good day, okay? It's all who you ask. It's all an interpret, okay? Things can be interpreted different. I'm just telling you, interpretation is different to speculation. And so we don't judge the translation, okay? Judge the intent of what's being said. When something's been given, we judge it by the intent. Hopefully that's bringing clarity. Somebody, maybe you had that question. What does that mean? Why has that happened? Let's get to the dynamic gifts as we close this thing down. Faith. We talk about the faith. Supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. A supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. Have you ever had a bad report given to you by a doctor or by an employee or employer or a family member or a friend? And it really rattled you. You know, they got a report you wasn't expecting to hear. And then maybe sometime that evening or the next day, all of a sudden you just feel this faith rising up in your spirit. This is what's called the spirit of faith rising up in you. It's what happens. I can remember when we were in the hospital and we had Hayden and there. And as we got there, he was born with bilateral cleft palate and lip. And both of his whole mouth was just wide open. His nose was unattached the way it should have been. He had two holes going all the way through his lip, through his gums, through the roof of his mouth. I mean, you could put your finger right up to his brain if you wanted to. I mean, it was really gross looking. We were unprepared for it. And we come in, they hand me this literature. It's from 1972. Don't worry, your son can look like this. And you look at it like, I don't want my son to look like this. This is not normal either, you know? And so it's just like, you know, I was just really upset. And I remember this the spirit of fear that tries to attach itself to you. And then after everybody kind of got through the night and my wife fell asleep, I remember that night, just the Holy Spirit just coming into that room. And man, I just felt the peace of God setting in my room. And I got up and I said, God, I just thank you, Lord. You got everything under control. God, you've known about this. God, I know you're going to work things out. Whatever needs to be taking place, you're going to work it out. Whatever finances need to take place, you'll work it out. Whatever he needs will take place. And God, you look at him today, you can hardly tell anything's ever happened. Why? But there's a spirit of faith that built up in me right away. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that gave me that supernatural faith. He wants to give us that faith, the gift of healing, supernatural endowments of divine health. And let me link it in with working of miracles, divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. Musicians can go ahead and come this morning. You know, God wants to give us gifts of healing and gifts of miracles. Is that still for the day? Yes, it is. Gifts of healing are still for the day. I've seen cancer removed. I've seen tumors shrink and disappear. I've seen deaf ears open. I believe in the power of healing, very much so. I've told the story before, and I think it's a great story. I have a friend who was a missionary in Africa, and he tells the story, and I know he's a personal friend of mine, and so I can validate his credibility in the story. And he tells a story about how they were flying into Africa in a helicopter, and they were taking the gospel to an unchurched people group, but the gospel had never been there before. And as they flew their helicopter in, the word had been out that they were trying to get to this particular group of people. So the witch doctors had been sacrificing animals, had tried to put a fleece on their helicopter that would crash, and they had problems with the helicopter and had several mishaps. And finally they got there. As they come over the top of that mountain, they've seen all the sacrifices of the witch doctors out there dancing, trying to keep them away. So they were shocked, first of all, when he actually arrived, because they didn't believe that he'd actually be able to make it. They thought their witch doctors were going to be able to keep them from getting there to their village. And when he got there, they all came to him, of course, to see what was going on. And he was introduced to different people there, and they introduced him to the chief of that tribe. And the daughter was there. The daughter of the chief was there, and she was stricken with leprosy. And if you know much about leprosy, it eats away at your skin, eats away at your flesh. It rots away and eats away. And so she had chunks of her flesh missing off of her face, off of her arm, where the leprosy had already begun to eat away at her. And he said, he just felt the power of the Holy Spirit come upon him. He said, God, I just pray so that these people will know that you are the one true living God. I pray that you heal this girl of her leprosy. And right there before everybody's eyes, the flesh, the meat, the muscles all grew back before their eyes, on her face and on her arms. Talking about a miracle. I mean, can you imagine being there? That chief gets up and says, in his own language, native language, and says, if anyone doesn't serve this man's God, you will put to death. You know? Which, obviously, he didn't understand the gospel yet, but you understand what's happening. I mean, you're talking about a powerful impact. I just tell you this, that the gifts of miracles, the healing, are still for us today. We can walk in them. This is the good news of the gospel as our musicians come and our singers come. This is the great news of the gospel. In John 14:12, most assuredly, Jesus, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. That's you and I, Christians. He says, Christians, we're going to see the same works that he's seen. And greater works than these will he do. Talking about the Holy Spirit, because I go to my Father. He's saying the good news is this, guys. I'm only one person. Yeah, I'm doing a lot, but when I leave, I'm going to send you another one that's greater. And he's going to lead you into all truth. And even greater things are you going to see. Even greater miracles will you see. Even more will you see. But learn to operate it. So this is the good news today. Listen up. This is the great news for you and I. The good news is this, that if you need a word from God, you can have it.
Yeah, right.
If you need a prophecy, you can have it.
Right.
If you need a healing, you can have it.
Right.
If you need faith, you can have it. If you need a miracle from God, you can have it.
Yeah.
If you need wisdom from God, you can have it.
Yeah.
If you need an interpretation, you can have it.
Right.
We can have it. It's the gifts of the Spirit that are given to every one of us.
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome? Now, everything that we've done at Destiny Church, whether you realize it or not, the things that our leadership style has always been to back up this point right here, that you can pray the same prayer that I can pray.
Yeah.
You can say the same prayer that anybody in the staff can pray.
Sorry.
That you can operate in the gifts of prophecy just like I can.
Yeah.
You can operate in the gifts of wisdom just like I can. You can speak in the gift of speaking in tongues just like I can. You can speak with words of wisdom just like I can. You can speak with gifts of healing and faith just like I can. You can see miracles just like I've seen. It's the power of the New Testament that we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what I want to say to you. The same anticipation you had when you was a kid on Christmas Eve night. The next morning, you got up and you wanted to open up every gift that you had coming, didn't you?
Yep.
When you got up that morning, you couldn't wait. You couldn't sleep all night because you knew you wanted to open up every gift, whether small or big. Doesn't make a difference. You wanted every gift you had coming to you, didn't you? That's the same desire that we need to have for the Holy Spirit. Saying, you know what? I want every gift the Holy Spirit has for me. I don't want to leave any gift unwrapped. I don't want to leave any gift unwrapped, but I want to open up every gift that I have for me. That's the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of charisma.
Yes.
Charismatic.
Yes.
That means this. Grace to
yes.
receive
yes.
the gifts of God.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome. These are the gifts that God has for us today. Do you want to receive them? I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with this song. And as we close with this song today, I want you to make it your prayer. Say, God, I want to receive everything that you have for me. I want to receive every gift that the Spirit has for me. I don't want to be afraid of anything, but all gifts given from the Father are good to His children. And I want to receive them. I don't want to leave them unwrapped, but I want, God, I want you to help me to discern. I want you to help me to receive your gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's sing a song to the Lord. Let's declare how great He is today and say, God, I want everything from you.
Every heart that's gathered here comes to see your face. And every single voice I hear lifts to sing the praise of your love. Every hand that's lifted up can't reach high enough. And every soul grown tired and cold longs to feel the touch of your love. 'Cause you are all of creation shout your praise. The hope for change, the highest name, and you will be forever. Come to seek your face, and every single voice I hear lives to sing the praise of your love. Oh, every heart that pounds of fear wonders if they're enough, but every falling joyous tear tells a story of your love, your love. Worship with us. Come on and sing it. See,
you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You've conquered death, the gone before. The solid rock beneath our feet. Amazing grace, our Savior King. The Prince of Peace, the Great I Am, who's from the world they comprehend. The Lord Most High, you gave it all to save our lives.
Lord, that you are the God who gives gifts to us. Lord, we with our hands raised right now, we say, Holy Spirit, we want to receive every gift you have for us. We want to learn to operate in the gifts you have for us. God, this is what you've given to us as your children. Help us not to be ignorant concerning your gifts. But God, help us today, God, to embrace the gifts you have for us. Help us to operate daily in the gifts you have for us, not to walk in fear, but God, to walk with anticipation, to walk with faith of knowing that, God, when we allow ourselves to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that, God, you have many gifts for us to use, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday. May we be people. God, I pray right now, Lord, I prophesy over Destiny Church right now that, God, we're going to be people who walk, we're going to be people who talk and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that, God, we can go and reach our community with a greater level of anointing, with a greater level, Lord, of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life as we embrace your gifts. God, as we embrace your gifts today, God, we say yes to you and your Holy Spirit. And God, we say, baptize us fresh and anew. In the name of Jesus, we say amen and amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. And today, as we close, let me ask you one question. How many know it's easy to operate in the gifts here at the church? I mean, they're singing our song. You are. We can, you just can help and jump up and down. You can help and raise your hands. And man, I just tell you, it's easy. Words of wisdom come and prophecy come. And it's easy to have faith built up. But how many know that when you leave tomorrow, Monday, that's where you're really going to need it? Tuesday, that's when you really need it, when you go to work. And you got to go work with a boss you don't necessarily like. Or you got to have employees you're going to go face that you don't really like. Or you got to go home and there's things going on. You're going to need the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be operating in your life. That's when we need it. So today as you leave, remember tomorrow morning when I get up, I say what? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. Turn around, give someone a high five and tell me, I'm glad to be with you in church today. God bless you.